It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Coming at you like a pit bull, because it's a mittful. It's the Grilling Guys. And you got it. Jop is on vacation. I'm leading off.
Mexico.
Yeah, I'm leading off. And I got our boy Chaz here to fill in for him.
I'm here. I'm ready.
He does a good job of filling in, too. If you want to fill something in, you use Chaz, because he's just that steady backup.
Hey, I play the offensive line. I know the drill.
There you go. another guy we've got that's always at the ready is Squirrel Boy, as Conrad likes to call him, because he talked Conrad into eating some squirrel. And it's Brad Ensing from Garrett's Appliance. How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you guys doing this morning?
That's a legendary story now. It lives on.
And he had no problem eating that until he knew what it was.
No, free food in the studio? That's a DJ requirement, man.
I just love it.
You know, if you worked by me, everybody never trusts anything I eat. It's almost like I have to take a lie detector test before I feed you anything here.
But they have no problem going into the supermarket and picking up anything with an 8-colored wrapper on it and just stuffing it in their pie hole.
Hormone-encrusted crud for your body.
Yeah, yeah.
Yummy.
Yeah, you got, you know, God's greatness here in your plate instead. No, it's weird. I didn't get it at the store. Anyway, That's my rant. Sorry about that. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing this morning?
Well, we just... Jop's on vacation, so we brought in Chaz to fill in the hole here, and you know how he likes to fill in the holes with a fish through the ice.
Oh, we're going
to
be fishing.
At least he's doing better than me. I have not been able to make myself go out ice fishing yet. I've thought about it. Unfortunately, sold most of my gear here when we moved off a lake, so I'm ready to hit the fresh water here once the ice starts thawing a little more, but I will probably get out to do a little perching yet on the hard ice yet.
Oh, love perch. That is I think a bigger factor than most people consider. It's the gear. If you don't go out and invest in the right gear, you just don't end up ice fishing, because there are certain things you need.
Well, you know, back when we were kids, it was a 5-gallon bucket with your old man. And, you know, nowadays when I got rid of all my gear, I had, you know, nice Shanny, Heater, Vexlar. I had so many different poles. I mean, it's a completely different game when you can enjoy a little warmth while you're out there.
Well, and now there are, of course, all the powered augers, which is total game changer.
You guys sound like my back of my pickup truck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, your back of your pickup truck is doing better than mine, because mine's filled with trapping gear right now, but it is full as well.
Are you going to go to that trapping gig at Hilltop?
No, I will not be there. Actually, in just a couple days, we'll be heading down to Florida as well to enjoy a little warm weather.
Okay.
But I've been braving the cold pretty much every bright and early morning around 4:30 or in the evening after the lights go down, running a set outside of work. And I don't know if my wife loves it or hates it, but it gives me something to do.
And what are you trapping?
So depending on the weather, I'm still doing some beaver trapping. I'm picking up a muskrat here and there. As soon as the temps warm up, I've been doing pretty well on raccoons as well. And I think I've did a nick in the population of possums by me, a little bycatch. But the problem that it runs down to is my basement has turned into a flushing and skinning area, to my wife's dismay.
So are you tanning those hides yourself?
Nope. So what I've been doing is, after I skin and flesh, basically I've been drying. Now my beavers, I think I'm going to send out to Mink and Moyle Taxidermy out in Utah to have them done. It's just the actual soft hand process is so involved, and I just don't have the time or the wherewithal to spend that many hours doing it.
Yeah, it sounds like something you want to do until you try it, actually, and then it's like...
Yeah, it's
huge
like
commitment.
For $18, I can send this out and they'll mail it back, and I can roll it over my arm and it's beautiful. Sounds good to me.
So they run it through a machine, do you suppose?
Yeah, they have special machines that will grind down or tear down the hide, as well as they get that nice soft tan on it where you can just like a piece of fur on a mm-hmm. fur jacket, you can just roll it right across your arm, nice. And it's soft as soft can be.
So if we're talking fish, if Chaz is going to bring back some fish from the hard water, what are you tempted to do with, let's say, some perch this time of year?
Now, are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I didn't know if we were on the background. So a lot of the things that I've been doing, like I did some walleye here earlier this week where I did an almond-crusted baked walleye in one of the ovens at work. I'm still doing a lot of frying fish. I've got my little portable deep fryer that I haul around with me. Actually, I've done really well doing some fish curries, which I think I brought in here a couple times ago. That was actually sheep's head curry. But any of the firmer flesh fish, I kind of like to make curry out of.
Sheep's head curry. I thought it was like a joke. I thought you were like trying to,
I never joke about wild food, brother. It's always out of my sleeve. If I tell you it's that, it is.
But sheep's head
I got a really big smirk on my face.
Usually do. Sheep's head, though, is a very strong fish. It reminds me of mackerel.
Yeah, so it is. It's a little robust in flavor, but the nice thing with sheep's head is the flesh is so firm that it really lends well to stews, curries, things along that nature, where it doesn't break all apart and fall all apart like a lot of those softer fleshed white style fishes or white fleshed fishes. So it holds up really well in some of those dishes.
That's funny. Chaz, what's your thought about sheep's head?
Sheep's head? I've never actually
ate it.
Kept one in the boat.
I can now say I did.
But now your perch, I like using some sauteing it with mushrooms and finishing with a cream sauce.
Mm.
Putting that over maybe a little side of rice. You look pretty fancy.
In the winter, especially, perch is just so incredible.
Well, the other one I'd go to is my bluegill soup, because I'll make a nice cream potato soup, and when it's at the full boil and it's done, it's ready to serve, drop the bluegill fillets in. They'll just enough time to cook them, and they're done.
Yeah, they'll cook in seconds and that.
And everybody gets them, and it's not as firm a fish, so it's going to crumble apart, and it
right.
just that's, works great.
I love your process. I think that's absolutely how you do it.
And the
timing in any of these processes is the big deal.
Well, they taught me in the early age the first three rules of cooking fish. Don't overcook the fish. Don't overcook the fish. And don't overcook the fish.
Words to the wise.
Yeah, and words undercooking isn't things. Always that great either, like might I add.
Pardon me?
I said undercooking fish isn't always the most pleasant either.
Oh, no.
Unless it's sashimi.
True. Who doesn't love a little sashimi?
Yeah, I signed up recently for with a company called Wild Alaska, and they ship me seafood to my house. I don't have to even go. And it's fresh caught, all wild caught
I might
Alaskan
pull your man
seafood.
Card. It's just against my... It's against my religion to buy fish.
I can't afford to fly to Alaska to get halibut and rockfish.
Okay, but I can get salmon out of the big lake.
No, I'm not buying salmon. I'd rather have my salmon here. I don't like most of the salmon I buy in stores like that. Are you much of a salmon eater, Brad?
Yeah, so I do salmon if I catch a 2-year fish, definitely grill it, broil it. Cedar blanket, cool with all that. If I catch any of those fish in I'd say the 15-plus pound range, they tend to be out of Lake Michigan. It seems to me a lot fishier tasting. So a lot of times I'll smoke those fish, and then I'll make, you probably remember, good old smoked salmon dip or just my daughter.
You're very good at that.
Really
How could I even ask you what you do with salmon? Brad Ensing, Garrett's Appliance. Everybody go down and see Brad and get yourself a brand new kitchen, new laundry room, whatever you need, because they've got it. And
he might be cooking squirrel that day.
If you get a chance.
This time of year, it's beaver chili right now. So
nice.
That's awesome.
Well, on that note, Brad, hey, you have a great day, and we appreciate you, buddy.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you all soon. Take care.
Thanks, bud.
All right, you've been listening to segment one of the Grilling Guys. We've got Barbecue Bob here, Jop on vacation. Segment two is coming up.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
I am a guy, and I like fire.
The Grilling Guy.
All right, hey, welcome back to the Grilling Guys. Conrad here, hanging out with Barbecue Bob and the Baron of Beer, a man that's on the U.S. Ice fishing team, and we got him here for a reason today. And oh, sorry, hang on. Hold on here. Hold on, see, you're not helping me.
Sometimes.
And we got him here for a reason today because he's involved with the International Ice Fishing Championship.
It's the World Ice Fishing Championships.
In Grand Rapids?
I got it to come to Grand Rapids.
Oh, Chaz, nice job, Bubba.
My boys and I have been working like 5 years to bring this to Michigan. And when it finally came clear that we could make it work inside of the Michigan rules and laws and everything else, they're like, where are we going to do it? And I just shouted out. I said, it's going to be in Grand Rapids, damn it. Because we got an international airport. We got good, hard water. The west side of the state's where you ice fish. The east side, you got to call Canada because you're going to blow off somewhere and the Coast Guard's going to have to come get you.
True that. Hey, welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys. Still the smokiest show on the airwaves. We're gonna talk about a little hard water right now. And we've got a very serious ice fishing person with us who happens to be also one of our, volunteers for the show or people that help put this show on the road, like Conrad. Conrad actually makes more than most of us. But Chaz has an absolute labor of love, and he loves grilling and brewing beer and, of course, ice fishing. So he's very much involved with the ice fishing, what would you call it? It's a
community.
Network community, yeah. And so we're going to talk a little hard water right now. But if you have never been to our website, it's thegrillinguys.com. Go to the right-hand side and check out those icons because those are our sponsors. And there just might be a coupon there waiting for you to happen.
Yeah, there's some good stuff on there.
Yeah.
But we got to go fishing, man. You asked me a silly question during the break. Is there going to be ice? Bob, there's over a foot of ice out there. And, you know,
just so many years it's been so disappointing that I don't look forward to it. I don't count on it anymore.
Well,
I went a couple years ago. My buddy, my good friend, Greg Mosheri, lives up north of me on a lake. And we went out there fishing. And it was really nice. But I don't know that lake. So we didn't know where to drill.
Well, there's two ways you can approach it. There's a lot of apps and stuff out now, but also the DNR website has maps, and they will show you the bottom contours of where the depths are, where the points are, and obvious things that even a summertime fisherman looks for. And so you look at those contours and say, well, there's a weed bed over here, or there's a gravel spot over here, or a point here, and those are all structures that you might get. Now, if you're lucky and you know the lake, or you may have lost a Christmas tree down a hole the year before, you know that there's going to be a lot of life around those pieces of structure, or even where a tree fell in from shore.
Mm-hmm.
And those pieces of structure gathered small fish, which the food chain says that the bigger and bigger fish are going to feed on the smaller fish. And so that's where you go to target. Now, if you're walking out onto a lake for the very first time, one of my biggest recommendations is look around and see where the locals are at.
Mm-hmm.
they probably know something.
Right. Yeah. Well, and in this case, Woodard had like no shanties at all. So we're going out there. My son-in-law has the auger. He's got all the gear. And but I don't know the lake. And Mosheri doesn't know the lake, so he couldn't really point out where we should go.
Well, in our world, when we're out on the pro circuit or we're out meat fishing, we're going to break out the live scope, the forward-facing sonar, and sweep around, and then we'll switch to the Vexlar, which is
vertical.
There's
another name for that, too, isn't there?
They call them panoptics.
Yeah.
There's about four different brands of
out
there.
I have a fish finder for summertime that does that, and it's really nice. It's convenient. It's fun, if nothing else.
Yeah.
It shows you where they are, but it doesn't tell you you're going to catch them.
Well, LiveScope is pretty accurate. It gives you a representation out about 100 yards, and you can look at it, and my buddy, he'll
look at it. So that's on a cable. You can drop it down?
It's on a pole that you stick down through the
ice. That's
what
mine is, yeah.
And he'll tell me walk 30 yards that direction, drill a hole. He watches my auger go through the ice.
Wow.
He says, yep, you're right on top of them. Drop down, get to work. And at that point, I use my flasher, which is vertical sonar, to start jigging and bringing the fish up to me and catching them.
Hmm.
Fling them in the bucket and get my 25 for the day.
Interesting. So you're involved with an organization that's having a tournament in Grand Rapids.
Well, the USA Ice team has worked for a long time to bring the world championships back to the USA and to Michigan. Last year, the team went to Mongolia and won silver medal in the world.
I remember you going to Russia to do that.
Well, we went to Kazakhstan.
Oh, Kazakhstan. That's got to be a fascinating country.
Ukraine, Finland, Estonia, Bulgaria. There, Latvia. There are so many. Lithuania. So many great fishermen out there. And their European style of fishing is completely different than ours.
Really?
They use the small palm rods. A lot of their fisheries are overfished, so they're catching
What's
small.
What's a small?
Small palm rod fits in your coat pocket. I got one here, Bob. It's like 6-7 inches long.
Really?
We'll whip it out. Oh, very nice.
And this is cool.
Looks a little
it's
bit like
the
like
most
a
sensitive rod you'll ever use.
That's
because
a rod.
Yeah.
Well, like a screwdriver. It's about looks, that's where it's shaped
looks
like
a lollipop.
Yeah.
Yeah, we call them palm rods. You hold them in the palm of your rod or hand. And easy now.
Editing.
In the palm of your hand, you
so you can
jig
feel
them.
Every little.
Well, the spring on the end there is made out of mylar, so it's like X-ray film.
That's so.
And
cool.
The X-ray film mylar indicator there, even the slightest nudge from a fish, and you notice it.
Huh.
And
so basically, when you're fishing for like what you're doing, you're really trying to get bluegill.
We're getting bluegill, crappie, rough,
yeah.
Minnows.
Maybe a perch here and there.
Perch, yeah, a lot of perch come in on us.
How about muskies?
Game fish for this event are out of bounds.
Oh.
And with the size of the equipment and the line that we're using, our line is so small, we don't even talk about it in pounds.
You don't want it.
We talk it about it
musky
in
on it.
Diameter.
You've caught muskie before, right?
Oh, yeah, but not.
Tiger?
I've caught tigers. I've caught trews. And northerns, they're kind of disturbing when you're targeting small fish.
They're disturbing when you get them jumping around the bottom of your boat, too, if you've got no shoes on.
That's a fact.
I only caught one, but it was an intimidating fish. It was very big, and I didn't know what it was. Fortunately, my brother did.
Wow. So how would a person find out more information on the event?
Well, the website is usangling.org, and you go under the freshwater section and select ice fishing. And there's links and information there about the entire schedule.
And when is it?
We got a parade on the 14th February
Valentine's
in Lakeview.
Day.
We're gonna the village is putting on a show for us. They got a beer tent, the whole bit.
This is Lakeview.
Lakeview, Michigan. All about right. 46 and 91 there.
Well, that's a wonderful lake too.
Tamarack is awesome. And then the 15th and the 16th are the 3-hour heats for the actual competition.
Might be a few guys named Ivan there. You think?
All right. I'm trying to think about it.
We got more coming up. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Andy Havemeyer, operating owner of Wealthy Street Bakery, where we're more than just pastries. Open from 6:30 to 9, Monday through Saturday, and 8 to 3 on Sundays. You can enjoy a fresh pastry in the morning, a hearty sandwich for lunch, or a delicious brick oven pizza for dinner. Whether you're into coffee and tea, beer or wine, our drink menu is sure to have something for everyone. We hope to see you soon. Don't forget to check out our sister location, Hall Street Bakery, on the corner of Hall and Fuller. Check out our menus online at WealthyStreetBakery.com and also at HallStreetBakery.com.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. It is the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, on the Michigan Talk Network. On the internet, you can go to thegrillingguys.com. You can stream us. You can go to thegrillingguys.com and you can download our show for your iPhone. You can go to the iPhone Mac store, Apple store, and just punch in The Grilling Guys. We'll send this show right to your phone every week.
You can even find us on YouTube.
Yeah, audio. There you go. We're going to do, and there's going to be more of that coming up. That's for sure.
All right. Hey, I'm smelling a little Cajun in the studio here, Bob.
That's because we got T-Gid on the line. Boy, you smell that boy a mile away, even a thousand. What's up, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
I'm just so excited that your sauce is out now, and I'm sure I'll get a notification from UPS pretty soon that there's a package coming to my house.
I'm sending you some love tomorrow, bro.
I know. That's going to be so great. So tell us what you did.
Well, with the Gator Mojo, that's the name of the new hot sauce. It's a companion product of our Cajun seasoning, Extra Cajun. That's no E, X-T-R-A, Cajun.com. And it just kind of works hand in hand, guys. You know, I mean, if you're sitting down at your grandfather's table, you know, you're going to have a bottle of Cajun seasoning, and you're definitely going to have a bottle of some sort of hot sauce. And my grandfather, his love for food was pretty much unparalleled, and he was an awesome cook.
And he was Percy, right?
He was Percy Guidry, yeah. The man, the myth, the legend.
The name of Keith and Greg's company is the Percy Guidry Company.
And yeah, he's one of my heroes.
Yeah.
And yes, so he had that hot sauce, and it's not, you know, a lot of people, there's a bunch of different hot sauces out there in the market. We know that.
Oh, yeah.
And this is just, it embodies the true Cajun persona and flavor.
I'm so excited.
And that it's not too hot, but robust in flavor.
I'm so excited. That's just absolutely fantastic. I love your rub. Extra Cajun rub is just good for a million things. And it is not too spicy. And it's bringing back the trueness of what Cajun cooking is, and getting rid of that, misnomer that Cajun food is too hot.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we came out with it, Bob. You know, I mean, I travel the country, and I do a lot of Cajun cooking, and when I cook, I offer it to people that have never maybe had what I'm offering, and they're like, well, what is that? And I said, it's like crawfish etouffee, some famous Cajun dish. And they're like, oh, I can't eat Cajun food. I'm thinking they got an allergy to shellfish or something. And I said, well, what, you're allergic? And they're like, no, it's too spicy. And I'm like, you see, that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. I mean, I don't know what you've been eating, but it's not Cajun.
It's wrong.
And if they're calling it Cajun, it's wrong. Right.
Well, there are some legends of a certain Cajun traveling around the country and then telling the cook he didn't know what the hell he was doing. So I won't get into those, but they're pretty funny stories. So how can somebody buy this? What are you calling this extra?
Oh, the hot sauce is called Gator Mojo.
Spell that. Spell it, because it's unusual.
Like a gator, G-A-T-O-R. And MOJEAUX.
That's so funny.
But if you can get it on you can get it on Amazon. You just type in Extra Cajun, X T R A Cajun, and it should come up. It comes up as a package of two. You don't pay shipping, and it ships right to your door.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
$11.99 for two bottles. A great deal.
Hey, T. Good, in all your travels, have you ever been ice fishing?
Dude, no, I haven't. Man, you going to invite me, brother?
Come on up, man. You bring the seasonings. I'll show you how to catch the fish.
Well, I'll take you up on that, and I understand a little birdie told me you might be making a little pilgrimage down here to the south, and I want to entertain you as well, my friend.
No, oh, I get around.
No, that's Jop that's going to do that.
Jop.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So you're on Toledo Bend? Is that where your fishing place is? Your duck hunting?
We got a little place out on the reservoir. It's on the Texas-Louisiana border.
You don't get ice on that lake?
No, we get a little snow sometimes, but definitely no ice, my friend. If you want ice, you have to dump your ice chest in the cove and fish with the ice cubes or something.
Well, that might be a new sport, Chaz.
Yeah, but it's kind of hard to walk on.
It is, unless you're Jesus.
Yeah, I'm not that holy.
Awesome. So, tell me, what does this new hot sauce? What's the flavor? In terms of, like, I'm a huge habanero fan, and I like habanero for the flavor.
Right.
I love chipotle for the flavor, which is a roasted jalapeno.
Yep.
Or chipotle, I think it's actually said. But I love roasted jalapeno. I love roasted habanero. I get tricked into eating ghost peppers from time to time, and I just because I don't want my man card getting clipped like Chaz keeps threatening to do. But what would you say the profile of yours is? Is it a chili? Is it a what type of pepper?
No, it's actually made with a cayenne pepper. Like cayenne. Tabasco is made with a Tabasco pepper.
Right.
So from a Scoville unit, you know, it's not as hot as a Tabasco sauce, but it still has a little kick. And
so you can put a lot on it.
So you can
put a lot on your whatever you're eating and get the flavor out of it and not, you know, totally ruin your taste buds.
Exactly. And it's like my best friend says, man, your sauce is smooth. Not smooth, smooth. You can put it on a cracker and not burn your palate.
You can throw
it in some rice and gravy, gumbo, whatever you want it. Jazz up, and it doesn't overpower the flavor of your dish.
You're going to ruin the word Cajun by doing all this. You know that.
No, I'm trying to make Cajun great again, bro. I'm like, I don't know what the acronym is.
Make Cajun great again. I love it.
Yeah, right.
I love it. And you're not tired of winning either, are you?
I'm not tired of winning, and we are winning, brother.
We are.
And what you'll find if you go on our website, we got some really great, those two great products, you know, the seasoning and the hot sauce, but we got some really cool apparel, some extra Cajun hats and shirts and koozies and beanies. You know, you guys, you get cold weather up there. We got some ski knit caps made in the United States, and they're
nice.
Really cool. So we're actually selling more apparel than we are the product, or equal amounts, because people love Cajuns, baby.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, make sure and give your bride a hug for me, and
she loves you.
She's such a wonderful lady. She's and you've got a new house. I haven't been to where you're living now, but
you're welcome anytime.
She's very gracious.
We got the barbecue Bob suite ready for you whenever you're ready.
I just wish I could bring Cowboy Rob with me.
I know. What a gem of a guy.
I told you I had Coach on the show a couple weeks ago, Vermeil.
No, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Rob, of course, was friends with Dick. And that's how I got introduced to him. And I don't know. That was a special dude. In the barbecue world, not many people like Rob Russell in terms of the family, La Familia, you know, the group of bros who really hang out. And I'd say are people you want to be with, not just people that think they have a name, but people you want to be with. That's the difference.
Right.
There's people out there that want to have a name, and then there's people that you just want to be with because they're for real.
Yeah, you just you, they make you feel better about yourself just being in the conversation with them.
Yeah.
You're like that, Bob. You make me want to be a better man.
You are a better man. That's great. Well, listen, T-Gid, it's so great for you to join us, and I hope you you go ice fishing soon.
Well, I'm coming, and I appreciate you guys, everything you do, educating the public about good barbecue and seasonings and sauces and all that stuff. And I'll be sending that care package up to you really soon, my friend.
You know I got a bunch of bedrooms, and if you bring Jennifer, you can stay for free.
Oh, we're coming. We've never been to Michigan. I'm coming. Oh.
All right. All right, there you go. Hey, we got to take a break. You've been listening to The Grilling Guys on The Grilling Guys Talk Network. We'll be back. Boy.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fen Valley Vineyards.
If you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats, where our staff is always friendly and they all know our creed. Come on down to Sobey's and let us meet your needs. We have kielbasa, kapusta, chicken, pork, and beef, seafood and hot sticks, a snack that can't be beat. Dairy and deli, groceries, beer and wine. And once you shop at Sobey's, you'll shop there all the time.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Please stop by to see Teresa and myself and the whole gang for good old-fashioned service at 3450 Remembrance Road. Make sure you visit SobeyMeats.com for our specials, and thank you for your support.
So when you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats. And if you're really satisfied, there's one way we can tell. When you leave the store, make sure you ring our bell.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Hey, welcome back. You're with the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Filling in for his buddy Jop. Barbecue Bob is here along with our buddy Chaz.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Conrad. We were going to be talking about, wild caught. We're talking about hard water fishing. And it just makes me think of this thing I just got involved with, and it's called Wild Alaska. And they literally wild catch fish, flash freeze it, and ship it to you. You don't, like, order one out of the ocean. You know, they're just...
I like that one.
Yeah, it's like down lobster tank.
No, not that one, that one.
At D&W, the lobster right. tank. I want that one there.
But it's... they hooked me. I'm not... making a joke, but they hooked me. I saw their promo on Facebook, and it's all this. I went to Alaska to fish, and I loved it. My wife's good friend from high school lives up there. She has a fishing lodge, and we have not gone as a couple, which is criminal. You know, well, they sold the lodge, but I mean, if you've never experienced Alaska, You really need to sometime in your life before Trump sells it.
Oh, he's not selling. He's buying.
To buy Greenland. He needs the money to buy Greenland.
Right.
Yeah.
You're going to give it to Vlad.
He had another Riviera out there.
Oh, it is such. I mean, have you been to Alaska, Chaz?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've got a good friend, Jimmy Comstock. He moved up there when the recession hit and uh-huh. lost his job in Grand Rapids. He found a job in the oil industry as a project manager and moved up there. Now he's got a beautiful cabin out in Denali.
Oh.
And
Mount McKinley?
Close. He can see it. And so he gets out that way.
So there is a town called Denali?
There is an area called Denali.
Oh.
It's a It's okay. Right off the edge of the big national.
So that's park. Where Mount McKinley is.
Yeah.
It's still Mount McKinley. It's not going to be.
But you got to talk in Alaska size terms.
Oh.
You know,
it's bigger than Texas, which is bigger than most countries.
Yeah, like their counties are the size of most states in the U.S.
Really?
So it's big. And it's kind of like our friends in the UP when they talk about a short drive, it's 2 hours. Their short drive is 3 hours up there.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah, it's nothing just to run over there for dinner.
Right.
And sometimes you got to take a plane, but we've had some wonderful times fishing up there.
There's that's actually an aspect of Alaska that most people don't appreciate. There is a huge aviation industry up there. I mean, I'd say a very good percentage of the people up there have pilot's licenses because – and you learn how to – I was with my pilot buddy yesterday, and he just is building a brand-new float plane. And I never landed on water. I know how to do it. I used to fly, and I know how to do it. I know what kills people. And it's like if you're gonna actually do a float plane, you want to really get some serious training because people end up getting hurt.
But they don't have as many roads up there, and some of their roads are.
Oh yeah,
are not impressive.
It's not a road.
Yeah,
it's a trail.
You need our big trucks just to.
Well, my point is, when you're fishing in Alaska, there's a couple of places in particular that people might want to go. Valdez is one of them, and that's where the Exxon Valdez sank, or got punctured anyway, leaked. That has a bunch of rockfish,
mm-hmm.
And Conrad, those fish are like what you used to see on Popeye and these old cartoons where they had these graphic fish with these big lips.
Yeah.
One's called the mother-in-law fish. It looks like that. It has the big lips. It's the most hideous looking fish you ever saw, but it's called a rock fish and they look crazy, but you won't even bother with halibut when you start eating those.
Yeah.
And they're just that good.
Oh. Well, it goes with my theory of the colder the water, the better the fish.
That's why perch are always so good.
Oh, I love all of my fish in the winter.
Right.
And, you know, summer fishing's just the fun of hearing the reel rip.
Right.
In the winter, we're eating.
You're talking me into it, Chaz.
We're going to go out and cut a hole, man.
I think I need to go up and see Greg Mosheri and drill some holes.
Well, if you want to catch fish, come with me.
Well, maybe I'll bring you up to his place.
Well, we can bring the Army up as soon as these world competition's over.
So what I started off this bunny trail with was I've joined this thing called Wild Caught Alaska. And basically, for a couple $100 a month, they'll ship you a box of flash frozen. You pick your choice of what type of fish you want from Alaska. And I got my first box. And it was halibut, prawns. Just, it's gorgeous. I'm so excited. I'm like, can't wait till I can plan the meal to start cooking that.
You get any of those crabs that you see on Deadliest Catch?
No. Well, I don't know. This is just my first attempt at it, but it's called Wild Caught Alaska. I'd kind of like to have their chef on the show. She's just adorable. But this girl will teach you a lot about cooking fish.
If she's adorable, I'd like to have her on the show, too.
So big prawns? Pretty big prawns?
Oh, my gosh. They're like lobster.
Oh.
They're beautiful.
Wow.
You like those?
Love them.
Do you?
Yeah.
You put them for a quick sear on the
180 grill? A month, you can get them.
Sure. Here you go. What about?
They ship them to you. I mean, that's
so
a
it's
nice
like
part.
Amazon. It's right on your porch.
It is. It is, and they keep you updated with emails. My daughter called me and said, the UPS lady dropped off your box at my house because the UPS lady comes to both of us, and my daughter just lives a mile down the road. But my driveway is like 900 feet, and it's uphill if you're coming, downhill if you're going. And both can be tricky right now with the ice. And the UPS lady is like, nah, you can get your box at your daughter's house. Anyway.
Yeah, my mom has a similar deal with the mail lady at my brother's house.
So, yeah.
They deliver to one
yeah,
house.
Yeah, sure. So, Wild Caught Michigan, Chaz. So,
Michigan.
I can do Wild Caught Alaska, but Wild Caught Michigan is even easier.
I'll tell you, the crappie bite is really starting to hit on now, and we're excited about it. We got the Worlds coming up here in another week.
And what's that called?
The World Championships of Ice Fishing. It is condoned by FIPSID, which is the Freshwater Association for the World of
FIPSID? FIPSID. That's harder to say than network.
Well, it's not even in English, so I couldn't even spell it out for you. It's based in Rome, but it covers all the freshwater fishing sports, whether you're talking fly fishing,
so there's a lot of ice fishing in Rome. Is that the deal?
No, we kind of got spun in with them because we're freshwater. And the officials that are coming over to preside over the competition are from Rome. And I'll be working with them starting Monday.
Huh.
I got a meeting with them about the scoring that we're going to do because this is a catch and release tournament. That's how we could do
it. Takes all the fun out of it.
Well, not really, Bob, because Michigan has a limit of 25 fish. And the international competition is all the fish you can keep inside of 3 hours.
See, I never got into the catch and release fishing thing. That's why bass fishermen kind of blow my mind because, like, you're going to go through all that work and then you're not going to get to eat it. It's, to me, that what do you think, Conrad? Do you fish at all?
I do, but, you know.
You'd release them because you're such a sweet guy.
That's it. Nice talking to you there, fishing. But, again, having the world championship in Grand Rapids is a mind blower, Chaz.
Yeah, it's a huge deal for us. And to get around the Michigan 25 fish limit, what we're going to do is when an angler gets about 20 in his bucket, we're going to swap buckets with him and weigh those fish. Put those fish back down the hole so we can stay within the limit and just keep weighing all the fish they catch.
And is there a type
hours.
Of fish that you have to catch to make it legit?
Anything but like the game trophy fish, like bass and pike and walleye are out. But bluegills, crappies, sunnies,
perch,
all those are in.
Basically, that's about the five fish you're going to run into the volume on.
Anyway. We get into we got some
okay,
gobies
so
last
week.
Okay,
let's say you had some bluegills. This is a food show, by the way.
Yeah.
So let's say you got some bluegill. How you gonna cook it?
Well, first I'm going to grab the knife and I'm going to fillet it off and skin it, so I have just pure flesh.
Uh huh.
And
isn't that
the
key
bones are gone?
Yeah.
And then it makes a lot less mess cleaning them as well.
Yum.
Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to mix up a little bit of a dry rub.
All right, we're a little backed up on time, boys. This is your producer, Conrad. Again, thanks to our pal, Chaz Thompson, coming in, hanging with us today, and doing such a great job. That's our final segment here on The Grilling Guys. Go to thegrillingguys.com, find out more information, and create yourself a little bit of that grill envy.
We'll see ya.